Network.
Blog Talk yep. Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, the 24th of October. I'm your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, where I live. And it is great to be with you wherever you may be tuning in from. You know, whether you're coming from across the street, you know, here in Midland where I live, or you know, across the country or across an ocean, you know, from here in America, because when I was thinking about the across the ocean thing, I always think it's kind of interesting that those people, I mean, those who live in Europe will say instead of saying across the ocean, they will say across the pond. Have you ever heard that, Jamie, where they do that?
Yeah, I have heard that.
But then again, some of us here say that about there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, both ways, I find it kind of fascinating. And I'm like, and I'm thinking, how is that just a pond? A pond doesn't have waves.
Right.
I think of a pond doesn't have waves. A pond doesn't have water that's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of feet deep, miles deep of water. A pond does not have salt water in it.
Right. I don't know. Hard to say.
See, I would agree. To me, it is hard to say why they would call it a pond when it is not a pond. When to me, it's anything but. To me, our Great Lakes, I would say, are more pondish. Even though those have waves on them and stuff, you know, deeper water, but. Nothing like the depth of an ocean. I mean, as far as the deep parts of an ocean. But, being Dr. Barclay is going to do his end times thing tonight, I figured tonight I would dive into some verses about it. You know, what does Jesus say about it? What will it be like? And so when I think about it in my mind, I think of like, where it says that, you know, there would be wars, there would be rumors of wars, and different things. There would be earthquakes, there would be famines, there would be different pestilences, you know, in various places. You know, that whole, this big thing we got going on right now with Israel, the big thing with Israel and how it relates to, you know, the different countries lining up and different things like that. And, I mean, if wrong buttons are pushed, this could be World War III at the start of it. And then some people may wonder, Miracle Man, do you think we are in, you know, do you think, Miracle Man, do you think we're in pre-trib? Do you think we're in the mid-trib? By trib, I mean tribulation period. Do you think we're, well, the way I see it, I believe that we are in the beginning of sorrows. Beginning of sorrows is a period before the trumpet blows. And when the trumpet blows, you should be ready to go. And you know what I always like to say about when the trumpet blows, especially at this time of the year, with it being the fall? It won't be a trumpet from the football game. It will not be a horn from the football game. You know, like some of these people bring these air horns to the game and use them to cheer on it, listeners. Those of you listeners who go to these football games would know what I'm talking about. You know, people will bring these horns into the stadiums and they'll blow on them and stuff. You know, it won't be one of those. It'll be different. I think that you say, will we actually hear it with our own ears? Well, I think we may. Or we might hear it only with our spiritual ears. I don't know. But I'm curious to see if those are questions that will be answered tonight. I'm ready to hear what he has to say. I am. I really am ready to hear what he has to say about these last of the last days. It talks about in Matthew, we will not know the day or the hour. We will not know the day or the hour. And there have been certain dates that have been suggested over the years. You know, that could be, like, many of those came and went. I remember around Y2K. Many people thought that he would come, I mean, that Jesus would come, that he would come maybe at the start of January 1 of 2000, or, you know, maybe right before midnight on December 31st of 1999. He didn't. Not only that, Dr. Barclay went to a certain summit and stuff, you know, and they were like, well, Pastor, you know, they were like, well, Brother Barclay, we want to hear what you have to say. And so they get there, you know, and different speakers are talking about what they're thinking. They're thinking, you know, he'll come. Oh, yeah, he's going to come. You better get ready, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And he's like, and so they ask him and be like, well, Dr. Buckley, we want to know what you have to say. He says, well, I'll pass. You know, like, no, Mark, no, Dr. Buckley, we want to hear what you have to say. He goes, well, okay. He is not coming at the end of 99, you know, at the start of 2000, like on the exact night that you are saying that he's going to come. And I'm sure in his mind he's thinking, you know, maybe, I'm sure he might have said something like, well, he might come before or after, like he might come before maybe, but he won't come on the exact night. The Bible says it tells us that we would not know the day or the hour. like the exact day or hour, we would not know. So, I wanted to look at a passage of Luke 17. And now I want to start with verse 20. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is.' Look on the McDonald's sign. It's up there." Will not come based on your observation, nor will people say, "Here it is," or "There it is," because the kingdom of God is within you. Then he said to his disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. Men will tell you, 'There he is, here he is.' Do not go running off after them, for the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also it will be in the days of the Son of Man." People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage. Given in marriage, what's that? Oh, people marrying, you know, whoever they want, regardless of, you know, man, woman. People marrying even animals, possibly. People even marry their cats. It's unreal. I guess, welcome to Sodom and Gomorrah, honestly. We're in the last of the last days, folks. But back to reading. People were eating, drinking, marrying, being given in marriage. Right up until the day Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. Sounds like the day you and I live in, listeners, doesn't it? To me, it sure does. Yep. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the roof of his house with his goods inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife? We could say it to this day and age. We could say, remember Sister Salt? Yeah. She turned to a pillar of salt. when she looked back. Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left. Where, Lord? They asked. He replied, where the carcass is, there the vultures will gather. And then and so you can also see in all of those, now is the time to compel people to the house of God. Because previously, you know, all these people were invited. You know, in Luke chapter talks about how they were all invited to come to his function to eat. All these people were invited. But they all in one accord began to make excuses. One said, I bought oxen and I must go and see it. Excuse me. Next person. I bought land. I must go see it. Please excuse me. We don't know whether there was a house on it or not, but we'll say, you know, yeah, I bought some acreage. And I got to go see it. Excuse me. Another person said, I just got married, so I can't come. Really? What? You got married, so you can't come? Huh? Oh, really now? You bring that spouse with you. You could bring him or her with you. And then later on in the story basically says, invitation canceled to those who were supposed to come. Not one of them will taste my supper. And he says, go bring the mute, the lame, the blind, the paralyzed. Go over to the highways and byways and bring them in. He said, Lord, they say, Lord, it's been done as you asked. And yet there's room. And they said, go get more. Whatever you can find. Bring them in that my house may be full. And then he says, you know, not one of those who had been invited, you know, that didn't show up, not one of those shall taste my supper. So my pastor, when he was in grade school, he used to say that he was the number one school skipper in the town where he gave up. Maybe he still holds the record. I don't know. But So I'm going to make it short time. But so he is using his own signature to, you know, use his mom's signature. He's writing down on the piece of paper that it's his mother.
Forging his mom's signature.
In other words, he's writing down his mom's thing. And so, like, you know, he would keep doing it and, like, you know, and all that kind of, to make it look like a valid reason and stuff. And usually, you know, he would hand it in through the window so he'd go back to class. And usually, Okay. You go to class, Mark. You can go to class, sir. Okay. And then go to class. But one day, he's actually sick. He misses school. Next day, goes back to school. You know, whenever he feels better, he goes back to school. This time, he actually has a note from his mother. A note from his mother. Yeah, full-on note. And, you know, yeah, he was sick, and so. But he gives it, you know, through the window to the secretary. And she says, hey, come into the office. You are not excused. You are not excused. That's not your mom's signature. And he's like, you know, Mr. So-and-so. He doesn't even say who she is. But he's like, hey, it's my mother's signature. I was sick. He said, all right, I'm going to get the principal in here to deal with you. And so that ends up happening. So, needless to say, you know, there was no excuse. Good. I mean, so, don't make excuses for yourself for why, you know, you don't think God's important, that kind of stuff. Don't make excuses. Don't be making excuses for yourself. You just shouldn't be making excuses for ourselves, because those people, all those different people who were invited, they were all making excuses. Traffic, you know. Okay, in the Bible it didn't say that, but you know, people make excuses. And my pastor said, well, in LA, there's always extra traffic. Duh. He lived out there for a time. In the 70s. Of course there's extra traffic. In San Diego, yep, of course. Phoenix, too. Maybe it depends on the time, but. And by traffic, we mean stop and go on the freeway.
Yeah.
Because in my city, you know, where a whole lot of where you go is just on the surface streets or whatever, and that. So here in town, we might think of traffic as like lights. You know?
Yeah.
But there, traffic. Actually, on the freeway, traffic, backups. But anyhow, but people like, what, I always try to come up with excuses for why they will not come to the house of God where life is. There's life in the house of God. There really is. It's not just, you know, figure of speech, anything like that. There is life there. There really is life there. And so, you know, in the day, but it talks about how in the day, you know, just it'll be just like in the days of Noah, in the days of Lot, where people will be going about their lives with no concern. What I mean by no concern is, I mean, like, they won't even be thinking. Or they might think, you know, he won't come. But in our hearts as Christians, we should at least be being ready. Ready in our hearts. That doesn't mean we just sit here and, you know, don't plan out our lives or anything like that, but, you know, sure, go to school, sure, learn, sure, you know, do what you do. But same time, you know, we should be being ready for the rapture. I mean, I think we're close. I'm not saying it'll be today or tomorrow or the next day, but we're close. And I want you to be ready to go. I really do. Father, help us tonight. In the name of Jesus. Help us to be able to discern the signs of the times. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you would reveal things to us, Lord God. Thank you that we would be doers of your word. That we would be ready for when that trumpet blows. And that we would not be those who are left behind and forced to live out some of the tribulation. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that in Jesus' name. Until tomorrow night, God first. Now, but first, let me tell you where you can stream. You can go online to marktbarkway.com to stream Mark T. Barkway, update on the end times and answering questions. Or you can go online to youtube.com, YouTube channel, Mark Barkway Ministries, Mark T. Barkway, in order to find it and be a part and hear what the man of God has to say about that. All right, folks, with that, for real now, until tomorrow night, God first, God always, so long, everybody. Try again. 6:58 p.m. Activate. Try again. Bye. Itty doop. Itty doop. Itty doop. Itty doop.